parable. The sower went forth to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. And other fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it, and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and grew, and brought forth fruit, 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. And no man, when he has lighted a lamp, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but putteth it on a stand, that they that enter in may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinketh he hath. Let's speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this messenger from heaven. God sent his Son. We are so glad. Father, there are so many things of earth of which we have no understanding. Thou knowest that we would have no understanding of heaven unless thy Son explained it to us. And that is what you have done. You have sent him from heaven to explain earthly things and also heavenly things. And we are glad that for those who have received him as Savior, we know that he speaks the words of God. So this morning may this other servant of thine, saved by thy grace, speak the words of God, empower lips, prepare hearts of those who are here, and forgive sins because we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. Give us a profitable, enjoyable time today, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Cut this down just a little. I can hear it vibrating. One other portion I must give you. Turn to Matthew 13, because I told you that this parable of the sower is in all of synoptic gospels. When someone says the synoptic gospels, they mean Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All four gospels, that means John as well. But the synoptic gospels are those that you can look at, one with another. All right, in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 9. He that hath ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he tells them the same thing. it's given to you to know the kingdom of heaven. To them it is not given. And then, verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. And there is fulfilled unto them the prophecy of Isaiah. Look at verse 12. By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Now, a question was asked, and the answer is this. Why, when I wanted to be saved, did God speak in parables, as Christ says here? I speak in parables because, seeing they see not. Why did God, when I wanted to be saved, hide these things from me and not let me be saved? The answer is this. God did not hide these things from you when you wanted to be saved. It was Satan who did that. Did you notice that there are two conditions here that keep a man from being saved? It speaks of Christ, and he indeed says that I speak parables that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may not understand. You say, well, why? There is a reason, but understand this, that any person who truly wants to be saved, if he is not saved, God has nothing to do with it. That's why I read this first parable. It says that the seed are sown, and as soon as the seed are sown, if they understand not, it's not God. But Satan comes and devours the seed that the person may not believe and be saved. It is never God who blinds those that are truly desirous to be saved. Because the Savior said this, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. But remember, it speaks about blinding, but it speaks of blinding from two sources, God and Satan. You say, well, that's so strange. No, it isn't. Because before a man is saved, Satan does everything in his power to blind. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 that the God of this age, Satan, hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the gospel of the light of the glory of God, Christ, who is the image and glory of God, should shine upon them. And so for that reason, it is never God who blinds, who keeps a man from being saved when he truly wants to be saved. Now, God is active in those who have heard and who are exposed to the truth of God, but they do not truly want to be saved. For this reason, that is why I read to you from Matthew. It says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. These are not people who have never heard. They are people who have heard so much that their ears have become dull of hearing. And it says, their eyes, they have closed. And so, these people to whom Christ is speaking in parables, that seeing they may not see, are not those that want to be saved, that are eager to trust Christ as Savior, but they are those whose ears have heard so much that they become dull of hearing, and they have had light, and they have refused the light. It says, their eyes, they have closed. Now this, if a man approaches the gospel, and he is wise and prudent in his own eyes, I promise you this, God will hide the gospel from you. You say, why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. If you want to be saved, then assume the attitude of a babe, a trusting child, and God will reveal these things to you. but approach the Word of God with superior attitude, as if you are wise and prudent, and you are doing God a favor by listening to the things of heaven that Jesus is speaking, and God will blind you, God will withhold you from being saved, from seeing the truth. But then, when there is a change of attitude, when you humble yourself before God and become as a little child, then suddenly the things that were so clouded, so fogged that you could not understand, suddenly they become clear. Why? It is simply that salvation is of the Lord, and in the first instance, you will never have any inclination toward God unless the Father draws you. And at the same time as He draws you, if you rebel and resist the light and contradict and deny the things that the Spirit of God is revealing to you, then God will withhold the truth until what time His Spirit prepares your heart to receive the truth. So it is God never holding back light and truth and salvation from those who want to be saved, but there is some impediment in your heart. It is your wisdom, your prudence, your attitude toward God, then God will hold back because you are not ready to be saved. It is that you've heard so much and your ears are dull of hearing and the light has shined and you have closed your eyes for the light, then because of that, then Christ will speak in parables and you will never understand them and you will never be saved. All right. That is the answer to the question, one of the two questions that the disciples asked the Lord when He got through speaking this parable. Why do you speak to them in parables, and what is the interpretation of this parable? You'll find from reading all accounts, and I do not have time to give you all the details as they occur in each gospel. I have read all the gospels, and I use the information that is given to us from all the Gospels. And not one question, but two questions were asked. And I told you why He speaks to them in parables. And then they say, what is the meaning of this parable? And that is when Christ speaks to them about this parable. All right. What is so invaluable is this, that we have a parable from heaven, and the parable is explained by the man who spoke the parable. I hope you have wisdom enough to understand that Christ's interpretation is the only interpretation. Anything you add to it, anything you take away from it, will only cause you to be in the darkness, and if you are not saved, then it will be a longer delay before you become saved. And if you are saved, it will be a long, long time before you understand the correct interpretation of the parable. Now, the second thing is this. You'll find that not in Matthew's gospel, but in Mark and Luke's gospel, a parable is given that is not given in Matthew 13, because the gospels take one, two, more of the parables that Christ spoke on this day and arrange them as God's Spirit guides them. Now, Matthew does not bring out what Mark and Luke do as what should immediately happen, the responsibility of hearing the Word of God. Matthew doesn't bring it out, but Mark and Luke do. And this is what is spoken. As soon as Christ speaks this parable, he adds this. He says, no man, when he has lighted a lamp, puts it under a bushel or under the bed. But he sets it on the stand that all those who are in the house may see the light. And he also adds this. Take heed how you hear, and take heed what you hear. For to him who has, it shall be given, and to him that has not shall be taken away even that which he thinketh he has. Now, do you understand? Two things are taught by this parable that Christ gives in Mark and Luke, but isn't inserted in Matthew, and the exhortation and the parable is this, that once you receive this light, Christ, who gave the light in the first place, now expects you to take up the light and let it shine to all that are in your little world. It says, nobody who's lighted a lamp. What does it mean? Here I am in darkness, but Christ comes and tells me about salvation. And when I understand about salvation, then I am illumined, I am a light. And Christ says, now that you're a light, don't put it under a bushel, do not put it under a bed, put it on the stand that others may see. I am the light of the world, Christ says, and he also tells the disciples, you are the light of the world. And for that reason, we are to shine. God gives light to those who are in darkness, and then not only is Christ the light, but we are light as well, and we are to shine to all those round about us. Now, the warning is this. It said, take heed how you hear. Why? Because the very thing that Christ tells them has happened to some can happen to you. What does it mean? You come out to a place like this, that I think, that all my life long, until I was 19 years old, I went to places that did not preach the clear gospel of the grace of God. And therefore, my ear wasn't dull of hearing. I hadn't closed my eyes. There was no light. There was no hearing that made my ears dull. But you who come to places like this and hear and hear and hear, the responsibility is great and the consequences are great. For this reason, if you close your eyes, then God will see to it that you are not able to see with those eyes. And that which you think you have, God will take away from you. To whom does this happen? It said, take heed how you hear. And so there is a great responsibility for all of you who are listening this morning. God is holding you responsible. Take heed how you hear and what you hear. You are hearing the truth of God. And you are not hearing error. And take heed how you hear. You listen attentively. And while you have the light, you walk in the light that you may become a child of light. Because if not, then you will fall into this category. Your ears will become dull of hearing, and the light has shined upon you, and you have closed your eyes. And therefore, Christ will speak to you in a parable, and you'll be like those that tried to find the door into Lot's house. They wearied themselves to find the door, and the truth of God will be spoken to you, and you will weary yourselves to understand it, or you will loathe the truth of God, you will shut your eyes, you will reject the truth, and this will be your condition, and God says you will remain in that condition until what time your attitude changes. Now, having told you that, I want to bring to your attention that on this day, no less than 10 parables, or 9 and a parabolic illustration, were spoken. And I take it that they were spoken in this order. The parable of the sower and the seed, and then the parable of the lamp that is lighted, that is to be set on the stand so all in the house can see. The third parable is the parable of the wheat and the tares, and then comes in a parable that only Mark gives us, the seed growing of itself, the earth bearing fruit of herself. And then comes the parable of the mustard seed, then the parable of the leaven, the parable of the treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, the parable of the net that was cast into the sea, and then the tenth, the parabolic illustration about a scribe becoming a disciple through the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a householder that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So, on this day, no less than 10 parables were spoken, and I take it in the order that I've given them, the ones that God has given us in the scripture. But what happens is this, that while Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give the parable of the sower that I read to you this morning, Luke gives it simply in relationship to the consequences of those who hear and refuse to receive the Word of God willingly. You say, he gives only that parable, and then that exhortation about, in a parabolic form, about the light that is lighted, set it on the stand. What does that mean? It means that Luke is emphasizing the preaching of the Word of God that men may believe and be saved. And if you reject the light, then night will come upon you. That is the relationship that Luke gives to this parable of the sower. Now, Mark adds a little more. Mark gives that same parable and the responsibility, but then he also tells us about the seed growing of itself and the earth bearing fruit of herself. And then he also adds the parable of the mustard seed. But Matthew is the gospel that gives the most complete relationship, and it gives this gospel in relation to seven other parables, this parable in relation to seven other parables, and it traces not only the preaching of the Word of God and the effects upon the individuals who hear the Word of God, but it shows the parable's relationship to all things that are going to transpire until the consummation of the age. What does that mean? It means this, that if you look at one parable, it is a parable in itself. And I told you that last week, so grasp it, that at times Christ will give a series of parables, and then at other times, he will take one of those parables and speak it by itself. I told you that in Luke 15, this is what happened. Here is a threefold, a parable in three parts, one parable containing three parts, the parable of the lost sheep, and the lost coin, and the lost son. But on another occasion in Matthew 18, the Savior takes one part of that threefold or parable, and he speaks the parable of the lost sheep by itself in Matthew 18. He does that. And in like manner, the Spirit of God has guided Mark and Luke to take what parables they choose of the many parables that he spoke. And notice that they tell you he spoke many parables that day, and they let you know that they're not recording all of them. But they put down what parables they want to for the purpose that God gives them for writing their gospel. But Matthew is the most complete, and we can see how the sowing of the Word of God begins, and then we see also the responsibility of those that hear. But then we begin to see in the parable of the wheat and tares, satanic activity when Christ is at work. And then we see how a mustard seed grows into something abnormally large, and then the leaven, and it goes on, and you get the entire age, beginning with the sower sowing the seed, and culminating with the net being drawn up on the shore, and the good fish and the bad fish being put in their proper places, and then an application at the end. Notice, there is an application, the very moment the first parable is spoken, take heed how you hear, and if the light is lighted, put it on a stand. And then after the parable is given, the parabolic illustration is this. Have you understood all these things? They said, yes. And I smile when they answer, yes. Relatively, they understood them, but how imperfectly. Then the Lord Jesus said, every scribe that hath been made a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, that brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So you see, if the light is in you, then put it on the lampstand. And if you have understood these things, then you be like an householder that brings out of your treasures things new and old. So, if you say, I don't want to engage my mind very deeply in the parables, then you read Luke 8. There's only one with the exhortation given in the second parable. If you say, well, I want to understand a little bit more about it, then you read Mark chapter 4, and it will tell you a little bit more about it. But if you want to understand the entirety of the age, beginning with Christ coming from heaven and preaching the word, and then culminating with the Lord Jesus coming back from heaven and establishing his earthly kingdom, then you read in Matthew chapter 13. All right, having told you that, I will explain a little bit about this first parable. And I want you to accept what God tells us from his word, from the interpretation that Christ gives about this parable of the sower. I take it that the sower is Christ. I'll tell you why. If you want to see it, look at verse 37. You have to know all the parables, but in one parable he will tell you something that you can fit into the other. Verse 37. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So you say, well, that's plain enough. Yes, that's the interpretation of the second parable. But I take it also that he who primarily sowed, because the disciple said, why do you speak to them in parables? He is the one who is sowing. Why? And then he says, because, and he goes on. So, the sower soweth the word. And who is the sower? It is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, all we consider in the first parable is the preaching of the gospel and the effects that it has upon the heart of man. So, here is what we discover, first of all, that the Lord Jesus sows the scripture, because Luke tells us the seed is the word of God. Sowing the seed is what I'm doing this morning. My preaching the gospel, preaching the word, is the sowing of the seed. And here is what you must understand, that the Lord Jesus sows the seed indiscriminately. You would think, here is the wayside. The seed isn't going to grow there. Why sow the seed by the wayside? But he does. Just accept the fact. Here is the rocky ground. The seed isn't going to produce fruit there. Why sow it there? But he does. Well, look. This ground is full of thorns. The seed isn't going to grow there and produce fruit. Why does he sow it? It doesn't matter why. The fact is that the Savior sows the seed, not in one soil that is going to produce fruit in a varied amount, but he sows the seed in various soils. He does that. You simply accept. So as I sow this morning, if I knew who the elect were, if I knew just the hearts that would receive the word of God and bring forth the fruit, well, I would just go and speak to you individually. But I do not know that. That is the thing that God impresses upon us. And while Christ would know, the Father would reveal to him all things, Christ would know, but still he sows the word of God. So it means this, that we are to preach the word, and we are to preach it indiscriminately to anyone who will listen to us, unless God forbids us to go into Bithynia or Mysia. When we are preaching, we sow the word indiscriminately until God forbids, and until we ascertain that you are a dog, that you are a swine, because the Savior says, cast not your pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. He forbids it at times. But notice, even though the Word of God in three of the four instances that we have is not going to bring more fruit, still the Word of God is sown. This should be an encouragement and a consolation to all of us who do so much preaching and get so little results. The Lord Jesus had the same experience. I wonder about these people. They go and they have these campaigns and hundreds and thousands of souls are saved. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Well, why, if this is so, it would seem as if the world is going to be converted. It should soon be converted. But you see, so few, and in Christ's case, he tells you that even though I sow the word, I don't get fruit from the wayside, I don't get it from the rocky ground, I don't get it from the thorns, and this is what is so sad. And even from the fruit that I get, it's not all 100%, but it is 100%, and it is 60%, and 30%, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, not percent. Think of that. You say, well, that is a consolation. And so something is wrong if I go and I sow, and everybody believes, and everybody bears 100-fold, I'm going to get nervous, because something has happened that is not given as an example in the Word of God. So that is the consolation. And here is something else I want you to understand. It must be grasped. The seed is the Word of God, and the seed is going to bear fruit if it is possible in the soil upon which it is sown. Keep that in mind. But the second thing to keep in mind is this, that God is omnipotent, but if a man's heart is like a wayside, he doesn't do anything to change that man's heart that is like the wayside. You see, that's strange. And when Satan comes to gobble up the seed, God, who is omnipotent, does not forbid Satan to come and take away the seed. Strange. And here is the rocky ground. And God does not change that rocky ground. It remains as it is. And the seed that began to grow withers. And the thorns, God doesn't root out the thorns. He lets the seed grow and lets the thorns grow up and choke the seed. Do you understand that? Therefore, salvation is not something that God forces upon a man, but salvation is something that God brings to pass in a way that only he understands fully, and he takes into consideration the conditions that are found in men's hearts. And this morning, your heart, it might be like the wayside. No two of us have hearts that are identical. Your heart might be like the rocky soil. Your heart might be like the thorny soil. Or it may be that your heart may be like the good soil. And so, all men are alike in this respect. They need sowing of the seed of the Word of God. You say yes. But the seed falls upon the same human heart, but some human hearts are like the wayside, and some like rocky places, and some like thorny ground, and some like good ground. You say, I see. And so that is the reason that you are not saved. You understand that it's impossible for a man not to be saved if he will allow the Word of God to run its course. If you will allow it, it is impossible for you not to be saved, because the Word of God is alive, and if it's planted in soil and left alone, then it will grow and produce fruit. But what happens is that in all the soils there is an impediment. Luke tells us that the wayside, the seed fall upon this wayside, it can't get under the earth, it's trampled underfoot, and the birds come and gobble up that seed. And God lets it that way. He lets it continue that way. And I must explain to you about the rocky ground. It's not this way. It's not like a man that goes and plows and there's so many rocks in his field. That means nothing. A seed can grow around the rock. But it is bedrock. It is not simply rocks here and there, but it is bedrock, and there's a tiny film of soil on top of that rock. And a seed has just enough soil for it to try to grow. But it hasn't any root, it can't get any moisture, and when the sun comes up, it withers away. And the thorny ground is that, and notice this is most important. It wasn't that it was sown among thorns that were full blown, but it says it was sown among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with the seed and choked it. And so here is a man, and all of these things that are represented by the thorns, they are latent in his heart. They're not full-blown, they are latent. But what happens is when the Word of God gets there and starts affecting a man, then the thorns grow full-blown and choke the Word of God. And then finally it falls into good ground, and what happens? It brings forth fruit. So, you must remember that God takes into consideration human condition, and he does not violate those conditions against your will. You say, well, is it salvation of the Lord? Yes. It is of the Lord from beginning to end, but whosoever will let him take the water of life freely, you will not come unto me that you may be saved. How often would I, but you would not. God takes into consideration your will, and if it were up to him with his omnipotence, he could crush you and make you his own, but he doesn't. And so if your heart is like the wayside, then he waits until you are willing to change. If it's like the rock, if it's like the thorny ground, he works and he waits until what time the soil is prepared, and then, again, the seed will be sown, and it will spring up and bear fruit. My heart was sown when I was 12 years old. I was telling some last week about this. My heart was sown with the true Word of God when I was 12 years old. And because I did not understand, Satan swooped down and took away the seed that was sown in my heart that I might not believe and be saved. And the man that I was responsible to for sowing the seed in the Word of God, this place is full of his descendants, Reginald Edwards, Sr. When I was 12 years old, he took me to a meeting and he showed me a chart, I think it was from eternity to eternity, and he kept emphasizing the cross and the death of Christ. 7 years later, again my heart was sown, and this is the hope. Even though at that time I was like the wayside hearer, and the seed was snatched away, still there remained in me the memory that somebody was sowing this seed in my heart when I was 12 years old. And thank God that wayside heart then became good soil, and the seed was sown, and it brought forth fruit. That is the consolation, that all of these soils, unless you have once for all rejected the truth of God, that the wayside and the rock and the thorn can be changed. But God will not change against your will. And so he works. And what is it that would prepare a heart and make it what it should be? The preaching of the Word of God, the Spirit of God working in the heart, the law, because it says by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin becomes exceeding sinful by the law. And the Spirit of God convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when it does, it's trying to change that condition of your heart from a wayside to good soil, from rocky soil to good soil, from thorny soil to good soil. But until what time you stop resisting the Spirit of God, then what your condition is now is like a wayside. It's like a rock. It is like a ground filled with thorns, and some of you who yield yourself to the Spirit of God, your heart is like good ground. Now let me tell you that Christ takes recognition of the different degrees of difficulty for men to be saved. You say there, it's the degrees of difficulty for God to save a man? The Lord Jesus said so. He spoke to the rich young ruler, and when he did, the rich young ruler turned his back on the Savior, and the Lord turned to his disciples and said, how hard is it for those that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? So hard is it? Why, nothing's too hard for God. It's so hard that God cannot save a man, because this is the way he has set up salvation. God cannot save a man unless the Spirit working upon him, that man ceases resisting the Spirit of God and is willing to be saved. And the Lord Jesus says, those that trust in riches, how hard is it for them to be saved? And the Spirit of God looks on that man and he resists. And the Lord Jesus says, it's hard. How hard is it, they say? The Lord Jesus says, it's possible. It is impossible. The disciples said, who then can be saved? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Thank God for that. Suppose your heart, as it is today, was going to remain that way. Then you would never get saved. But that is what the hearing of the Word of God can do. It can break you down. It can give you a contrite heart. It can give you a heart like a little child. And then, when the Word of God falls upon you, then the seed is not exposed to the activity of Satan, but the seed gets in the soil, and it will inevitably grow. That's all it takes. Understand that those that you think are saved in this portion, they seem to be saved because of the effect that the Word of God has on them. Notice, all the seeds sown are the same. The seed is the Word of God, and it will have some effect upon a man. And notice, he's listening to it, but he doesn't understand, and therefore Satan comes and takes away that word. Satan understands the gospel better than you do. You say, why? It says he comes and takes away the seed, lest a man should believe and be saved. Satan knows that if a man gets the word of God and believes it, he's going to be saved. What do you think it takes for a man to be saved? Satan says, if a man hears the word of God and believes it, he's going to get saved. And therefore, I've got to get that word out of his heart. Well, thank God I'm going to learn from Satan. Then, if a man is going to be saved, he has to hear the word and believe, and I must sow the word. And so I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to sow the word as they sowed what truth they had in Matthew 13. And they had more truth, so I'm going to preach the word of God and constantly sow that seed, because it may be that tomorrow your heart may not be like the wayside. You may be a little different. You may have a film of soil. You may be the rocky ground. Then you may be thorny ground, but eventually you may become good ground. But your heart is in one of these conditions. There may be myriads of other conditions, but they can be categorized this way. Your heart is not right, or you would be saved. But now notice, in the first instance, the Word of God never gets into a man. The Word of God falls upon the wayside, trampled underfoot, and the birds come and devour it. In the second instance, the Word of God gets under that tiny film of soil, but do you know what your heart is? It's a solid piece of rock. You say, but look at me. Look, I'm a lovely fellow. I receive the Word with joy. It's that thin film of soil that's there, and the Word of God can never grow. Why? Because you need depth of earth. And the seed, the Word of God, tries to get down, but it's bedrock, a solid rock, and it can't. And therefore, when the sun shines, then that seed withers away. It means that the Word of God, which is powerful, God says, I'm not going to make it so powerful that it penetrates a rock. But His Word can do this. His word is like a hammer, and it can break that rock. And His word is like a fire that can consume the thorns. But in what time you are willing, God says, then your heart is like a wayside. And some of you are just like this. You don't understand. You don't understand all that's involved about being saved. And when you don't understand, that's what Satan is waiting for. He swoops down and takes away the word of God from your heart. Why? Because if you meditate on it, consider these things, the Lord will give you understanding in all things. He doesn't want the Word of God to stay in your mind, and so He swoops down and takes it out. And then He'll let you listen to all the music that you listen to, and all the literature that you read, and all the propaganda that the world gives. And Satan isn't worried then. But if the Word of God is left there, it will eat at you, and it will start revealing things about the condition of your heart. And because of that, he swoops down and takes it away. But let me tell you this much, and then I will give you a chance again to ask questions for the last 5 minutes. Let me give you the interpretation Christ does and how important it is. He says the seed is the word of God. He says the birds of the heaven are satanic agency. They are the evil one and his agents. It says that the man upon the rocky ground, he is one whose heart is a solid piece of rock